Braves win last night, 9-5 over San Fran in a nice little tidy victory over a team that's looking for a playoff spot, but they're still 11 games under 500. So, yeah, there's that. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till 10 o'clock here every weeknight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Busy 7 o'clock hour coming up for you as well. But right now, we got to head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in one of our favorite baseball guests, the host of the Nothing Personal podcast, as well as the former Marlins team president, David Sampson. David, appreciate the time as always. Before we get into the on-the-field action, how did you think Atlanta did here in hosting the All-Star festivities?
I thought it was fantastic. I mean, I hosted in 2017. We did in South Florida. And it's very stressful because, A, you want everyone to be safe. And until the last person is outside the ballpark after the All-Star game, you're worried about that. You want the players to be comfortable and be able to be in the right headspace to put on a show. And we really did see a great show. It was a great home run derby. It was a great futures game first. Great home run derby. It was the All-Star game. How can you beat the swing-off in terms of how it ended? So all in all, the city did great, and it was great that it was back there. I know that there's a lot of politics involved, but Atlanta was due to host and to show off the great new ballpark and the great new area, and I think it worked.
Speaking of navigating politics, if you were in the Braves front office right now and Alex Anthopoulos comes to you with his yearly sheet of things he'd like to do, what are you telling him right now?
I'm not adding money to this team. I don't believe the team has earned it. I think that you have to earn your front office supporting you and being a buyer at the deadline. And the Braves were there. You know, they started 0-7. They climbed back, but they just fell back into a hole. And I don't think that the Braves would be smart, no matter how much capacity they may have budgeted to add at the deadline. I'd rather see them save that for next season, and I'd rather see them save some money on this year's payroll. Not every year can be your year. And in Atlanta, you're used to every year being your year, and I get it. I mean, that's an amazing thing that the fans have had of the Braves, just unbelievable success over decades. But I think the key is to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. And I think that the year is done for Atlanta.
When it comes to the future of the team, do you have any long-term concerns about players like Ozzie Albies or Michael Harris?
No, I don't think you change your evaluation. This is one of those things that just happens. It's hard to explain, but over a long career, you see so many different kinds of seasons where in a particular year, it just snowballs and the sum ends up, you know, way less than what the parts are. And to win, you need the sum to be greater than the parts, which is what the Braves got in 21, obviously, when they won the World Series. And it's only just a few years ago. So I love the core and they're locked up. I definitely agree that you trade the players who are on expiring contracts and move them along, save the money, get some prospects to the extent you can. And then you're ready with an unbelievable core. It's not like they're rebuilding, retooling, or going to, you know, lose 100 games next year. It's just that the year got away from them and it stinks, but we're ready in July. Spring, this is a weird way to think about it, but it really is true. Spring training is only 7 months away. It's nothing. It'll be here before you know it.
Yeah, it's just like I think you said it well there, David. It's not a sentiment that Braves fans, at least in the last few years, have been accustomed to hearing. It's always, what do we need to add in order to win the division again or make a deep playoff run? Speaking of the NL East, you have more faith in the Phillies or the Mets?
It's just something about the Mets that always worries me. But that's, you know, PTSD from growing up in New York. I wasn't a Mets fan, but also, you know, 18 years in the NL East and just watching us eliminate the Mets when the Marlins did that a couple of years in a row back, 15 years ago or so. Maybe it's almost 20 years now. And I just think that over time, Philadelphia, I like their rotation a lot better. And I think that as the season progresses, you get to the dog days of summer, which you get to after the trade deadline, you really want to rely on your starting pitching. And no matter how you slice it, I would take the Phillies starting pitching over the Mets starting pitching any day of the week.
And when it comes to the rest of the NL hunt here. Are you surprised at what a team like Milwaukee is doing? It seems like they're in the mix every year, David, but they just haven't been able to make hay in the playoffs.
Well, we interviewed Matt Arnold to take over as GM really early in his career, and we knew he was going to be a superstar. And, you know, he's been great with the Brewers, and it's so amazing. Am I surprised? Anyone who tells you they're not surprised is just lying to you and is not willing to admit that they don't know everything. I definitely didn't have the Brewers with the best record in baseball on July 22nd. Who could have had that? And, you know, at 60-40, they're winning. They're the only team in baseball winning 60% of their games. It's really hard. And the National League is so deep, but they're just on a great streak, and they've got depth, and they know, like Tampa, they know when to trade a player and when not to. And they tend to trade players, and you think that that's it, they're done. But in fact, they've built the pipeline with players that most fans have never heard of that end up being way better. Do you remember this year? Do you remember the player who was moved out of the Brewers rotation and then eventually traded to the White Sox because he was going to lose the spot for Mizorowski? And everyone was up in arms, like, how ridiculous. Meanwhile, they know what they're doing.
Well, speaking of Mizorowski, did you have any issue with letting him into the All-Star game?
Absolutely not. The people who are complaining, aren't they the ones who say, let's have fun, let's try to get young, why doesn't baseball market its stars? There's so much complaining that people do. And then when you make a move like this, people are saying, oh, this is terrible. But by the way, there were about 10 guys, let's say, who couldn't be All-Stars under the rules before Mizorowski was named an All-Star. So, you know, Ranger Suarez declined. He declined, literally. Christopher Sanchez could not pitch because he pitched on Sunday before the All-Star game, and that is a rule in the CBA that any replacement player cannot have pitched on Sunday. So it's a whole series of events that, by the way, was fun. He pitched the eighth inning in Atlanta, and everyone around the country got to watch him, and that, to me, is good for baseball.
Talking all things MLB with David Sampson, host of the Nothing Personal podcast. Make sure you check it out, as well as his appearances on the Dan Le Batard Show, former Marlins team president as well. Yeah, that whole let the kids play mantra from a couple of seasons ago. Exactly, David, where did that thing go? When it comes to the state of a couple of things off the field, when you look at these media rights that are going on, and I know you were involved in TV negotiations and the like, do you think MLB could try to take a page out of what some of these other networks are doing and sort of homogenizing its content and making it all sort of emanating from one place instead of trying to collectively have these regional networks all placed around the country? I know they're dipping their toe into some of that with a couple of teams, but do you think that's the wave of the future?
Do you remember how the Braves got popular? When I was a kid, the reason why everyone loved the Braves is they were on national television.
Yeah.
We got to watch the Braves as part of what was called back then the Superstation. And I'm sure that barely anyone in your audience remembers that, but that was a big factor. And it really has all the way back and now come to today, which is where leagues are trying to get more inventory for national consumption. The NFL is trying to have a game on every single night of the week that is available to everyone in the country. The NBA and its new TV deal, the reason they're fighting with Jimmy Dolan of the Knicks is the regional sports networks are less important, and the NBA wants a more bigger focus on national deals and national games. And baseball is trying to head that direction as well, and I think they will succeed.
Well, I think a big part in doing that is making sure that guys like Mizorowski and Paul Skeens are on competitive teams that people are interested in watching. Do you foresee a situation where the Pirates would actually let him go and a big market team could swoop in and try to get him?
Well, you say that, but listen, there are a bunch of low payroll teams who make the playoffs every single year, whether it's the Rays or the Brewers or the Royals or the Guardians. It's just that the Pirates have not been good because their baseball department hasn't been good. It's not that they haven't had a chance to win. They just haven't won because they don't make the right decisions. You can never legislate against stupidity. And I'm not insulting the Pirates. It's just a fact. The Marlins won the World Series with the 25th highest payroll. in 2003, and we tried to get back and never could after that. But that's our fault, not the fat, not the low payroll. So I actually think that all teams can't all make the right decisions every single year. The Braves, we were talking about them this year. It just didn't come together. That doesn't mean that Alex is not good at his job or that the Braves are in a bad position. It's just how baseball is. Paul Skenes could lead the Pirates rotation and could lead them to a World Series and then become a free agent and sign somewhere else if the Pirates don't want to give him an irresponsible contract and there's another team that does. And that's how every sport is. There's teams that lose free agents, teams that sign free agents. It's really quite common for every team to lose players and sign players. You can't sign everybody. You can't lose everybody. But I wouldn't give Paul Skenes a Yamamoto contract. And if the Dodgers want to do that, then they can. But they're going to find that those contracts don't work very well. And then maybe they'll keep doing it. Maybe they won't. But I think it's fine that Skenes is on Pittsburgh. I think it's great. People love watching him pitch. He's really good. And it's too bad the team isn't winning more games, but maybe they will going forward.
But what if you juxtapose that, David? And I know you're somebody who is very matter-of-fact when it comes to these things, and that's why I like listening to your opinions on baseball. Like, you don't think there's any part of the combination of Major League Baseball and Mike Trout and his camp that doesn't regret what's happened over the last 10 years. I know injuries have played somewhat of a part of it, but essentially you had a guy who was on a Ruthian pace, and it was largely overshadowed by the fact that he made the playoffs once in his career, David.
It's amazing. But go back further. Andre Dawson never won a ring. He won an MVP on a last place team. Ichiro's going into the Hall of Fame this weekend. He didn't win a ring. So I there are a ton of great players who don't get an opportunity to win rings. That's the beauty of the World Series. It's so hard to do. It's hard to get a ring, forget two rings or three. So I don't really look at it that way. And you say a matter of fact, I don't think I'd rather you say that I was pragmatic, which is that we have a situation where there are fans who say, oh, why us? Meaning Pittsburgh fans, we have this great pitcher, but we're not winning games. Well, there's teams that have great pitchers that are winning games, teams with great hitters that aren't winning games. It's all over the board, always. It just depends on what city you're in. And so right now, Pittsburgh looks at it and saying, oh, woe is me. But Pittsburgh, you know, they had a great run, and it's not too long ago. So I don't know. I just have a view that every team has opportunities. It's just hard to actually put it all together.
No, it absolutely is. And the reason I'm putting emphasis on it now, and I'd love to get your opinion on this as well, is that it's the time that we're in. It's baseball. You know, in 2003, when the Marlins won the World Series, they were captivating the nation, not only because they beat the big bad Yankees, but because baseball was much more nationally relevant than it is right now. And when you're trying to market the stars of today, to have these players not be on good teams like the Trouts and the Skenes of the world, I just think it's not maximizing the potential of the sport at a time in which the sport's potential desperately needs to be maximized.
I totally get that, but I also think that October makes stars versus stars making October. And so, you know, there are the obvious exceptions, the Yankees. It doesn't matter. When the Yankees are in the postseason, it's just big for everybody. People are watching. And it doesn't matter that Aaron Judge doesn't play well in October or he does play well in October. People are watching. But on the other hand, there are people who get into the postseason. Go back to how about Carlos Beltran when he had that huge postseason? Was it with Houston?
Houston, 06.
And then he signed a free agent deal elsewhere. I can't exactly remember, but he made himself a ton of money by having a great postseason.
Yeah,
he's an incredible player.
Mets, yeah.
Yes. Thank you, God. I'm having a minute. It's late in the day. You are way sharper than I. But so what excites me about October is that it's the random nature of the playoffs in baseball makes it so if you just get there, you have a chance. Now, it's true, the Twins, the Brewers, there are a ton of teams, the Guardians, who just have a hard time winning games in October. But that is really it's a small sample size. It seems like it's forever that the Twins haven't been able to get past the Yankees. And it is true that right now, but you know, 30 years ago, the Twins won a World Series. So I think that getting to the playoffs is the goal of all 30 GMs. You just want to have a shot. And it doesn't matter whether you've got Mike Trout or you don't have Mike Trout. I mean, the Angels had Trout and Ohtani. That is really, you're making my argument for me that having the highest paid player or the best player in baseball actually does not correlate to winning a World Series necessarily.
No, not at all. Before I get you out of here real quick, as a former front office executive, how would you handle what's going on with the NFL and its PA?
Boy, if I'm baseball, I'm praying to God that Tony Clark and Bruce Mayer stay put. You wouldn't want this sort of issue because the devil you know is easier to deal with than the devil you don't. There's a chance that the person who replaces Howell and Treader is just better than Howell and Treader were. And that is something that as owners, you know, you're trying to not deal with someone who's smarter than you or better than you in terms of how to negotiate or how to corral the union. And you can see that, you know, Treader and Howell were brutal. And now that they're gone, I can imagine Roger Goodell thinking, all right, you know, who's next? How's it going to work? And in MLB, it's way more acute because you've got a negotiating session starting really this year, if not early in 26. And right now it's Tony Clark, and he's being investigated. And I bet if you asked Rob and you gave him truth serum, the commissioner would say he does not want Tony Clark replaced.
Well, that certainly is the NFL's problem to bear right now because both of those guys, as you said, already out the door. David, we'll be listening to Nothing Personal, watching you on Le Batard, and thanks so much for the time as always.
Hey, have a great night. Thank you.
All right. That is David Sampson there, host of the Nothing Personal podcast. When we get back, we didn't get to him yesterday because we kept getting sidetracked by shenanigans and the Braves thinking and the Falcons hope. So we'll get to five Falcons true and false questions coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. It's Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till 10.